It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hi, hello everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast with Jim Donnan, Brent Rollins, and Roddy Nabulsi. If you don't know Brent, Brent is the one of the gurus at Pro Football Focus, one of the guys who does all the grades that you love to argue about and we like to complain about. He has joined UGA Sports as a contributor to give us stories and analysis from the unbiased, purely numerical, you know, pass-fail, big play, little play type stuff. And you don't have any fandom. You don't have any skin in the game. So Brent is going to be able to come to UGASports.com, the host of this website, I mean the host of this show, and give you analysis. He did a great piece yesterday about Jake Fromm, which we will get to. And, of course, everyone knows Jim Donnan, the reason you're all tuning in. College Football Hall of Fame coach, the only man to have led the NCAA in passing offense and rushing offense. The man knows more about football than I will ever – he knows more – he's forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. And, I mean, the guy just has it down. That's the reason you're watching. I'm back from a trip overseas and went to Egypt and to Turkey for a couple weeks. Glad to be back. Glad to be back at Champy's. I want some Champy's food. I want some fried chicken. Nothing against Egypt and Turkey, but they don't make fried chicken like we do here. You know, and so I was kind of looking over the menu, like, what are we going to put out? And I'm like, I'll just have one of each. So I'm glad to be back in the United States, glad to have the opportunity to have some wonderful food here. So glad to be back in Champions. Also, glad to have academia in front of me because, Coach, they don't have good beer overseas. I'm just going to warn you.
Really?
You know, they just, yeah.
It's not a
That's
thing.
That's why you just go hard liquor, right?
Well, I'm not answering in that. You're not going to get me on that today.
No comment?
Yeah.
No comment.
Well,
it was some fried chicken right
now. Oh, boy, look at that. Let me pull this over a little bit
go
here.
Go for it.
Pull that little bit in a little bit closer there. That's what I'm talking about, the three-piece fried chicken here at Champy's. You cannot beat it. So just very, very happy to be back. And, of course, big shout-out to our sponsors who let us take trips like this. Athens Ford, Aaron Overhead Doors, Your Pie, of course. That's what I had when I first got back. Academia Brewing Company, Cable East. Thank you, Robert Wall, out of State, them for sponsoring the show. And, of course, we're on the 365 Game Day Facebook page. We switched recently. Go ahead and give them a like if you would. And, you know, we're 17 days away from the start of practice.
You know, I always feel times. Like that really the great indicator of fall camp getting ready to go around is, you know, really it kind of hits you in the face when you got SEC media days, and we were just kind of talking about it. But I had a chance to watch Coach Smart, and I didn't get to see any of the players except Jake Fromm. But, you know, Kirby just did a tremendous job of articulating the message about what he was trying to build here and what he's done so far, but also about what's ahead for us. And, you know, Jake himself was a really good representative. You know, it's a lot of people hitting you there with tough questions and trying to get you to bust people up and everything. And he was just very smooth. And so I think really, you know, you say 17 days away, it really is right around the corner. And I guess the difference now, Brent, from when, you know, the in the past, you know, 15 years, is all the freshmen are here at the start of June and can really get their feet on the ground. And you've seen that around the country, the other teams that you follow, these freshmen get in here early and get going.
Very much so. And freshmen have to play. It's not necessarily – I mean, we've seen every year almost a record set in terms of number of underclassmen that go into the NFL draft each year. And guess who the people who are going into the NFL draft? The really talented guys, and guess where the really talented guys play? And that's in the SEC. So specifically within the SEC, freshmen have to be ready to play, especially the most elite of those freshmen.
And that builds your depth as far as using some of these guys maybe a little quicker on special teams. But one of the things that we've pointed out throughout the times that you haven't been here is the fact with this new redshirt rule with only you know, you can really go in there and play four games and still have a chance to play. Like Devod Wilson's going to be a freshman, redshirt freshman, instead of being a sophomore for having to play last year, you know. So I think it's going to help you know, maybe branch out a little bit. And, you know, when we put Jordan Davis in the game early in the year, we had no idea that he was going to play like he did. And then
yeah, played very well.
But you don't ever put those guys in the past. You would say, hey, we're not going to use a whole year eligibility just to see what he can do. But yeah. I think that's the other thing that
– it's a great rule. It's a great change for college
football.
It
really is. And occasionally they get a rule that helps, and then it's most of the time it's some of these catfish rules. But I like
– not a violation of a mom getting something that she shouldn't have or something
like that. There's plenty of that doesn't get caught, but – I think the main thing that I saw this morning beside Kirby was listening to Steve Shaw, the supervisor official, who does a really good job of reaching out and trying to present to the public what they're trying to do. But, you know, the new increased look at targeting from a standpoint of it's not targeting when it goes up to the booth, you know, from the standpoint. It used to be it's targeting, you got to prove it wrong. Now you got to prove it's targeting. And unless it's, you know, a situation where it's roughing the passer or something like that. And then the other rule, which I really like, is no more of these blind side blocks. You know, just those little guys trying to be heroes and coming up on the blind side and hitting guys. I think that's going to be a really good deterrent for some of the injuries you have. And then the third thing is, no more wedges on the kickoffs. You know, even two-man wedge is illegal, so you can't really do that.
I had a question about that because I always thought that, you know, we've heard talk of doing away with kickoffs. We saw them move it up 5 yards so there's more touchbacks. Because they talk about how the kickoff is one of the most dangerous things in football. And I know the wedge is like, look, that hurts people. But at the same time, it also kind of protects your guy. So it seems like, okay, we're going to – let these guys get hurt, but not the returners. You know, did it seem like a trade-off to anybody else? Because it did that way to me.
I just don't think football's made for guys to lock their arms and go two against one. You know what I mean? It's just and it used to be four. You know, the flying wedge there, and so I think that's a good rule. And you can double team a guy, but you can't get arm in arm and lock in there. You know, back in the old days when we used to set the wedge, let's just say that the three of us are on the wedge along with one other guy. We had a guy that was a captain, and they would all hold hands and go back, and the one captain would be looking back at the guy catching it, and the other three would be looking at the people coming down the field, and he would say stop or whatever the word would be, and they would just be ready to go, and then he would say go.
Right.
So he wanted to set that wall close to where the kick was in case it's to the boundary or down the middle, but now you don't have any more of that. I think safety value with all the speed, quickness, and you see all these pro players that you grade and these college players, it's just so much athleticism, but full speed collisions, you just got to limit the head and limit these collisions from the blind side, and I think that'll help from a concussion protocol.
Very much, and the targeting's hard. It's because you have letter of the law and what's written down, and now I have to interpret exactly what's written down versus seeing it something live. Whereas a lot of times I feel like you could take the row of chairs there at Champions and the guys sitting there watching the game and be like, all right, was that targeting or not? And you can tell from an intent standpoint. But the letter of the law, hey, we have to call it, we have to do those things. Right. So removing some of that and making it more, you know, observable a thing as opposed to prove it wrong. Let's prove it right. I think that's a step in the right direction.
Coach, you mentioned Jordan Davis, and we had a question pop up right almost immediately from Christopher Metcalf. He says, do we have someone like Jordan Davis that looks like they're trending to be a contributor?
You mean far as a defensive line, I guess? As far as we do have some really good-looking young D linemen here in camp that, you know, they can't put on pads and they can't do anything, but I guess the word camp is the wrong thing. They're here for summer practice where they lift weights, run, condition. You know, we've talked about Marshall being a really good defensive line guy, angular, can really run and jump. I think he's going to hit the mix pretty quick. Certainly we've got those two defensive ends that I think both Johnson and Nolan Smith are going to be very quickly utilized, and also in the secondary scene. And then N'Kobe Dean and linebacker. I think all of those guys defensively, then offensively, George Pickens just stands out right now to me athletically with his skill level. Shouldn't jump in there pretty quickly. You know, our offense is a little bit more settled on the offensive line. I like this Wolf kid that's a transfer, maybe help us at tight end. And we've got this other kid that's we talked about when Roddy was over in Turkey and Egypt. This Priestley kid who's a preferred walk-on from out in California. Hurt his knee his junior year, so there wasn't a lot of junior tape for him to be, you know, really analyzed. But he's kind of pretty much the same built as DeJuan Mathis, but maybe not quite as tall, but and maybe not quite as fast. But with DeJuan's situation, I think that's going to give us some depth behind Bennett that'll help us a little bit. So that's about as quick as I could run through who might jump in there and help.
Oh, there you go. Well, Brent Tucker actually asked about George Pickens. Says, Coach, can you give us more in-depth analysis on what you think about Pickens? So you already touched on that pretty good.
Well, you know, real succinctly with about a 45-minute, the guy is tall, but he's also knows how to use his frame. You know, he really can put himself between the ball and the defender. He's got very good leaping ability. And from what I've seen, the few limited times, they do 7-on-7, and the coaches can't be out there, but sometimes I'm walking by there when I'm going to someplace. And I just think his ability to read coverages this early, going against some of the guys he's going against, pretty good. And he's got really good hands, and he really wanted to come to Georgia. He thought that the situation was such with us losing those three receivers early, and then you add the fact that you know, we've got some good players back there, but you know, a lot of now with Holloman out, he didn't know that at the time, but I just think he'll be a real quick contributor.
And Kirby Smart was asked about him. Well, I asked about the Holloman thing. He said, look, we heard about it in early June. We made an immediate decision, and that was it. He didn't get into details. And
didn't
really,
have to.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, a lot of people said, well, you know, why did Kirby Smart make – some people called it a snap judgment on Holloman. They're like, you know, get into the details, and, you know, there wasn't an arrest, you know, just all these different – they wanted to legislate and second-guess Kirby Smart's decision to get rid of Georgia's top returning wide receiver.
Right.
Let me ask you this. If you're a fan out there and you have a daughter – and somebody strikes her, would you want that guy to be even around your team?
You're right.
So, I mean, think about it from that standpoint. And that Kirby's got a young daughter. I mean, he's got a no-tolerance situation. All the players on the team know that.
Yep.
And you're always going to give them the benefit of the doubt and to get all the facts. But for some reason, this didn't surface for a year. I don't know what the deal was.
Well, but she didn't report it for a year.
Right. So, I'm just saying – there,
but once,
you know,
it
nobody here knew any, and you know, a lot of the pundits out there, the people that don't like George, I've seen on Twitter, hey, how could Kirby let this go on for a year and then decide to let the guy go? He didn't even know about it till June of this year. So,
and that was my point. So the reason my point was, when you have a situation where this comes up and Kirby dismisses him, a lot of people second guess it. It was for today. I mean, take just from a PR standpoint. He has the policy. He finds out about it, kicks a kid off the team. You know the question's coming. He's standing there, room full of people who are just looking for any tidbit to write a story about. They're thinking, okay, Kirby's talking for 17
minutes.
Where's
there a kink in an armor, in the armor?
Where's my story? What am I going to talk about? Because Kirby gives a lot of good answers, but they're not exactly stuff that you lead. It's not a headline in what Kirby says. And so someone asked about it, and you can see the fangs come out and people get excited about, okay, here we go. Here's some controversy.
The guy from Atlanta asked about it.
I didn't know. I wasn't there. So, and what does Kirby say? Yeah, we found out about it. He's gone. Next question. Succinct.
Yep.
To use your word, done. Here's the policy. Here's the repercussions. There is no second guessing here. There's a question. And they moved on.
Yeah.
And as much as I hate that for Jeremiah Holloman, he knew the consequences. He broke it. I mean, he admitted it and it's done. Then the next question was, or at least shortly thereafter, how does Jake Fromm deal with an inexperienced wide receiver group? And I think that's a fair question, and they moved on to talk football and not talk the other stuff, because that's where we need to go. It's like, what's going to – I mean, who are your top three wide receivers right now? We're not exactly sure. Who are your three, Coach? If you had to line up today.
Yeah, I think if you looked at it, then we talked about the speed that our team has, you know, among which one of the fastest players on the team is Tyler Simmons. I think he'll be the guy on the weak side or the away from the 3-by-1 when we go 3-by-1. probably, you know, for sure Werner be the tight end, the slot Robertson. And then, you know, it's up for grabs outside. You know, you got Landers, who's really had a good spring. He's just got to step up and do it. And then, you know, you got Pickens coming in. You got, you know, a lot of other players. I don't want to leave anybody out. But
no,
I think the biggest thing for us is right now Jake knows what to get us in. But the thing that I told one of these guys that call me up, that, you know, once in a while these people from outside, they're writing their stories for the fall and everything. What is Georgia going to do about receivers? Let me just tell you something. I think you did a good job with your piece. With our offensive line and the way we're going to be able to run the ball effectively, some guys are going to be running down in Sanford Stadium and some of these other places we play with blinker lights on, because people are going to support the run so much. We're going to have a lot of wide ass open, excuse my language, a lot of wide open people down the field because of the busting coverage and people trying to stop Swift. And the number one
hell,
guy,
go to Swift.
Yeah, the number one guy it. That I think is going to really surprise everybody, that kind of had a coming out party the first time we had the open scrimmage last year, is James Cook. The guy's put on about 12 to 14 pounds of muscle, which was going to help him where he won't just be a guy that you're going to run an outside zone with and throw screens and all that. He's going to be able to run inside, and he's going to get behind those big old guys and get behind them and juke and then make some big runs inside. And a lot of times that's where you make your big runs, you know, because everybody's trying to pursue and you cut back against the grain. But I think James Cook is going to have a coming out party for us. And, of course, Harry and Strong. And then the other guy, Zamir White, just had a fantastic rehab and really looks good in his uniform. Just hoping so, because he's had such bad luck with his knees, just hoping he can come out and be anywhere close to what we think his potential is.
Well, ideally for him, he's a 3, 5, 6, 7 maybe carry guy early on, and then game 8, 9, 10, 11 hey, maybe I have something now. Now
he's comfortable. Build that confidence
now he's
up
confident.
That he can
now
do
he's
it.
In shape. All those sort of.
And here's another guy that's got 4 years, but you know, hey, if he plays like he's supposed to, he might come out a little bit earlier. But Swift looks, you know, I was sitting down over there at the camp and just talking to him a little bit about Philadelphia and everything. But he was talking about how good his legs feel, and you know, analyzing and getting the grades. You know, you got a back with something wrong with his foot or his groin or his, in his case, a sports hernia. That takes away from your skill level. You know what I mean? Because you're not. But he looked 100% this spring, and he's just. I'm just telling you right now. Every week, you know, you talk about something that makes your mouth water. I mean, and you just visited Niagara Falls. He makes me feel like Niagara Falls.
That's a great
reference.
That
is a back now. I mean, he's a stallion.
And they're an interesting – Georgia's in a very interesting situation. And much like – so, for example, our preseason top 25, our top four teams, you have Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. Those four teams have something that a lot of other schools don't have. And that is a low-volume running back ready to go. Like Etienne, Swift, Edwards-Helaire, and Najee Harris at Alabama. Those guys, I think, Etienne maybe has slightly over 300 touches in his career. So you've got low-volume backs who are just ready to sort of peak at that junior year, ready to go kind of thing.
Hey, and they all got good quarterbacks that can get them in the right play. And, made me sick yesterday to hear Coach O talking about Emory, how they're counting on him for a big year. You know, that would have been nice to have him. But
that would have been nice.
We're getting ready to have, hopefully, Milton next year. But I just think it's exciting to know what our potential is. But every coach at this time of year, you know, everybody's undefeated and you got all that looking ahead of you. But it's just the talent level here is demonstrably increased from – watching our kids 3 years ago to right now.
Yes.
I mean, that those defensive end. There she is all the way from Thailand. We're coming back here. We're not going to change any kind of rice deals here. We're going to stay on the chicken. Okay, good.
Yeah.
No noodles either. Okay.
The receiver piece, though, that, you know, in terms of who are you looking at to step and not knowing, Well, did you really know that Jeremiah Holloman was going to become what he became last year?
No.
He was early on, not necessarily, from the football perspective, early on, not necessarily in the mix, and developed over the year, throughout the year, as a go-to type receiver.
Yeah, well,
I think you're going to see that.
I mean, you bring in the guys and you hope that they have the potential that you see on them in high school, the Jordan Davises of the world, you know. Guys like Ledbetter, who just got progressively better each year, you know. Solomon Kinley, you're like, this guy has potential. He could get there. Eric Stokes, crazy potential, just kind of climbed up the ladder, gotten better each year. I know a lot of people.
After we leave these receivers, I want to bring this point out. Blaylock and Karis Jackson are two really good guys, too. Going to be a big part of the special teams, can kick return kicks. They'll jump in there and do a good job. But the guy that's really interesting to me is Cager.
Yes.
I was out there, maybe right when he got here. And I was, you know, if you're walking away from the butt smear and you go outside and you go through that gate down toward the baseball field, I was walking out to get to my car. And somebody threw him a 9 route, and he beat some defensive back, and he just caught the ball and brought it in. Looked a lot like Wims catching the ball. And he didn't know me from Adam's house, Kate. But I said, hey, Cager, that was a good job. Said, who did you beat? Who was that you beat? He said, I don't know who it was, but I beat him.
And he actually has.
So he didn't know all the players, but he was glad he beat him. That was
it doesn't matter. Hey. You don't need to know him from week to week.
Yeah.
Doing some, you know, research for future posting on the site, looking at what UGA will look like with Coley at offensive coordinator. And you look back at Cager's data from, you know, his time at Miami, and on those 20-plus yard routes, you know, he was a 11 to 12 out of, you know, 13, 14 opportunities. He's making the catch, and a lot of touchdowns in there. So he is a deep threat. Can very much be
something
that would
be there. Well, you know, Roddy could have told me that. How can you? Roddy knew that, didn't you?
Yeah, of course I did.
Yes.
No, that's good stuff there, man. So
that's why I hire these folks.
I think what's good about
Cager, though, is, you know, I liken it to Maurice Smith. He knew Tucker. He knew Kirby. He knew the calls. He knew everything about it.
Yeah.
So he's going into an environment where, even though he's meeting some new players to deal with, he knew what the situation was, and these coaches weren't going to BS him about his chances and everything. And that's what Coach Coley went directly. It's kind of like trading for a player. You know, we lost three receivers. Hey, we got this. You know my system. You can fit in. You know, you want to go to the league, you're going to, the number one thing that I would tell a guy is you're going to go against a secondary every day, like what you're going to see in the NFL as far as the coverages, as far as the techniques, the escape routes,
talent,
all the stuff you're going to have to do. And, you know, he's not a number one draft choice by any means, but he's big, he's mature, and the kids like him, and he fits in. And that's what you need. I always tell our players, I'm not going to bring a JUCO player in here that's not going to be able to play. But we didn't have graduate. Because the worst thing you can have is a guy that, you know, coming in here that really hadn't paid the price that you have. And now he's in here and he's not playing anyhow and he's griping. Hey, if you're going to bring a guy in, he better be able to step in and help you. Because of what he's taken away from a kid that's worked his butt off for 3 or 4 years.
And, again, SEC Media Days are going on this week. Georgia's opportunity is up today. They brought in, you know, Jake Fromm, you know, J.R. Reed, Andrew Thomas, three great choices, you know, three great media guys. They're not going to tell you a whole lot, which is exactly what Kirby wants. Like, oh, let's fulfill this. Get some good general quotes, generic stuff. But I saw that a lot of people were chasing Jake Fromm around because he's got that charisma, you know, that it factor. You did a great story about him. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But first, I want to mention one of our biggest sponsors, Athens Ford. If you get a chance, I want folks to go out there and check out the Athens Ford Advantage. It's a neat little program they have out there. Of course, everything you get from them, any new cars or any certified pre-owned cars or any of their pre-owned cars that are under 80,000 miles have a lifetime powertrain warranty on them. They also do 100% price match guarantee. A free service loaner if you have any, if you're getting any work done, you can get a loaner vehicle out there. And they have a 72-hour exchange policy. So if you swing by out there, you get a car, and you're like, no, I'm going to get something different. You got 3 days. Drive it to work for 3 days. Take it to the lake. you know, put some miles on it, see if you like it or not. If for any reason you're unhappy, go back to Athens Ford. They'll get you something they want. The whole point of the Athens Ford Advantage is to make you happy. It's not a deal for them. It's a deal for you. So go out to Athens Ford. Try it out. The deals they have on Mustangs, Ford 250s, Ford Explorers, all their vehicles are just off the charts. And, again, they are the state's number one certified pre-owned vehicle dealers, Ford pre-owned certified, number one Ford certified pre-owned dealer out there. When you get a chance, go out there. If you don't want to buy a new car, if you listen to too much Clark Howard, he says don't buy a new car because it's going to depreciate too much, go get a certified pre-owned, you know, 100-plus checkpoints that they go through and make sure that everything's working like it's supposed to, warranties throughout all over the place. Go get one like I did. I got a 2016 Ford Explorer certified pre-owned. Thing's brand new. Brand new, and I didn't have to pay. I probably saved about $17,000 by getting it that way. So
that's a good thing.
Get a chance, swing out and go there. I want to talk front page story at UGA Sports yesterday. Can Jake Fromm, who, again, everyone at Media Day is talking about him, he's being chased up and down the halls by all this huge media contingent. He's down some of his top receivers, loses three to the NFL, loses one to a dismissal.
Plus tight end.
Yeah, down a tight end, down two tight ends.
Yep.
You know, a lot of replacement parts going there. A number one question on a lot of people's mind is, can Jake Fromm, as you pointed out, he's taken Georgia in his first year to a nut title game. Second year, takes him to the Sugar Bowl. What's on tap for third year? Can he lead this team to a national title and win it? He's done it. He's taken them there once.
I think so. And I think the biggest question there
you
is
think
not
so? All right, write that down, folks.
Yes, I do think so. I very much think so. But it's not so much him as much as it is the gauntlet that he would might maybe face in those last game or two. Uh-huh. Because when you look at his first 2 years, phenomenal first 2 years. He's a top 25 graded quarterback in our system. He's a top 15 in passing grade. He's a top 10 quarterback in terms of grade from a clean pocket, which one of the things we talked about in the article is how your grade from a clean pocket is something that is a metric that is typically stable year to year. It's not something that fluctuates like when you're under pressure. That stuff fluctuates because of so many other factors. So he's elite there. He's a top 20 guy in adjusted completion percentage.
What is adjusted completion?
So that accounts for drops and throwaways and batted passes, like passes you actually threw. So if he's
throwing one out of bounds because there's no one to throw it to, that doesn't count as an incompletion.
Right, that's a throwaway.
Okay.
So, you know, in terms of all of the metrics say, yes, he is that elite-level quarterback and can be. But, you know, I was sort of hunting through the site last night and looking at some of the discussion, and some of it was, well, hey, he was a different quarterback from Florida on. And that was true. Like, if you look at his grade pre-Florida last year, it was around 76. Post-Florida, around 90. He was a sort of elite-level grade post-Florida. He had majority of his big-time throws were at Florida game and post. Here's the problem, though, and here's the ultimate question. Well, guess who had a higher grade? Guess who had a little more big-time throws? That would be the guy up 85 that wears orange and white. You know,
yeah.
So it's not so much about him because I think he is that elite quarterback and very much so. It's the can you be elite against –
Trevor Lawrence.
Against Tua, against, you know, what you might face in those final two games and or the SEC championship game. So that's the ultimate question for me is that
step. To get there, and Coach, I want you to weigh in on this too. I think Jake Fromm has done – I mean, the numbers don't lie. He put you in a national championship game. He gave you a lead, got you to the – you know, did everything he could, got you to the SEC title game. I mean, you know, didn't win that one, but, you know – he obviously can get you there with that great offensive line, with those great running backs, with a strong defense. What does he need to do, or does he need to do anything better this year, Coach?
I think the thing you got to look at is the first year he had a lot more help than he had last year.
Good point.
You look at the guys that were on offense. He had three guys in the first
round,
30 some with Wynn and those two backs, and then the defense was so much better and. He didn't have to do as much. Last year he had to. Our defense, as Kirby alluded to today, was very young and lost a lot of good players. And I think our defense this year will present a lot more field position. I think we can maybe play a little more wide open in some of the things we do. offensively because our defense can absorb mistakes that sometimes happen when you take those kind of chances. So I think his stats will be really good this year with our play action game and his accuracy and the fact that we're going to be ahead a lot. Yep. You know, we're going to be playing – teams are going to be playing catch-up against our defense a lot this year because our defense athletically is so much better on the back end, and then the pressure we're going to be able to generate should create a few more lost yardage plays, more turnovers. So his supporting cast is really a lot, even though we lose the receivers. But the overall first 44 to me, a lot better this year than we were last year.
And those defense – those. Offenses are going to have to drive the field against Georgia, thanks to Rod kicking touchbacks every game. You're not getting those short fields.
Our kicking game is probably as strong as any in the country as far as returning two kickers. You know, Texas A&M's got that Thunderfoot punter, but this combination punter and place kicker, and we got some really good guys. It's going to be a dog fight to see who's going to be the kick returner for us. I mean, you go over there and look at those guys catching punts for us with Demetrius Robinson and Blaylock and Karis Jackson and
give it to
Swift,
Jackson.
Swift and Cooks. I mean, those guys, I mean, they scare me.
I'm putting my foot down. I want Kyrus Jackson to get the ball and a kick. I've seen it firsthand covering his games, you know. Yes. It's like any time that I'm sitting there with a big lens trying to take a picture of this cat and he jumps out of frame, I'm looking for to see where he went. I'm thinking if you're 2 feet from him and you're trying to catch him around the waist and he's just jumped 5 feet to the right. Yeah, good luck with that. Y'all have fun trying to stop him. Speaking of second and none, I'll give a big shout-out to Aaron Overhead Doors, big sponsor of our show. And I like this new tagline they have, a Buford-based, family-owned garage door company. They do take great care of us, and right now they're taking care of Georgia fans. These are huge Georgia fans over in Buford, and, of course, they work all through North Georgia, all through Atlanta. If you have any garage door issues, reach out to Aaron Overhead Doors. Our number's right there, 678-960-3360. If you're in your car and you're listening to this, you want to hit them up, go ahead. They are giving 10% off to any Georgia fan. So you need a,
Really?
Yeah.
What do you got to prove? How do you prove that?
You just tell them.
You got to wear a polo.
The guys out there will take your word for it. This is an old-fashioned family business. If you say, hey, look, we're Georgia fans, they're going to give you 10% off.
Good.
You could be a Clemson fan. You could lie, but then that's between you and God, and you deserve all the punishment you get in the hereafter. But if you want to get the 10% off, go ahead and reach out to Aaron Overhead Doors. Fantastic folks. And I'll tell you one thing. I just came back from being overseas, and there's a ton of construction going on in Egypt. It's 24 million people in Cairo. But the one thing that drives me batty is they don't finish a lot of things. A lot of stuff gets started and not finished. And there's a lot of stuff that needs to be cleaned up. Aaron Overhead Doors, when they come, when they leave, everything is going to be picked up. Everything's going to be immaculate. And the job will be finished. They won't have to come back. Oh, we need to come back next week with a part.
It's very important.
Yeah, it is.
Recent experience tells me that. Very
exactly.
Important.
If you ever had contractors come to your home and do any work on the house, and you know what it's like when they're like, oh, well, we don't have this part. We have to come back next week. And you're like, well, okay, now we have to set that up, Or they're like, oh, I don't have that on my truck, because they're a contractor who works for the people that you hired. And, they're not an actual employee. You're not going to have that issue with Aaron Overhead Doors. They could do wonders in Cairo right now. They could fix a lot of problems. But shout out to them for sponsoring our show. And, of course, when I came into town, after being out 2.5 weeks, first thing I got was a Euro pie.
There you go.
They do not have good pizza overseas. They don't have the right sausage. They just don't. It's Turkey has something called sajuk, which is nice spicy sausage, but I wanted pepperoni, damn it.
Yes.
I went in and they're like, hey, I'm like, no, I just want a pepperoni pizza.
We take it for granted.
Yeah, honestly, you do. And I had one that was probably the best pizza I've had all year. So
I wanted to ask Brent, because he was talking about the ratings and everything. So from the Pro Football Focus standpoint, who are the top three pro quarterbacks as far as how you guys got them ranked right now going into next year?
I think you're looking at Herbert's up there somewhat.
The kid from Oregon.
Kid from Oregon. Tua's there. Tua's been very good in our system. Third, you're pushing. You're pushing to find number three. So
what about that Love kid? Who does he play for? Do you know who I'm talking about? I saw some tape on a kid named Love. That's a quarterback. That's do y'all have him rated?
Don't know that.
I don't know that he might be just a junior this year, but. But anyhow, I think this year will be a big year for Jake. And some of the other things we got here, we got any tough questions here?
We do. We have one from Joel Moody. Says, is it a fair comparison to compare Cager to Holloman as far as his ability to do what J.J. did for Georgia? So you lose Jeremiah Holloman. Can Larry Cager do what he did?
You know, it's hard.
You about to get some
light bulb.
Here?
Light bulb hit.
It's hard to make that
Utah State kid.
Really analogy, but I think Landers can, and I think Tyler Simmons can, because they haven't had the chance to. You know, I think Holloman took advantage of some tighter coverage against Terry and against Riley last year. You know what I mean? And you get the one-on-one situations. It's a jump ball and. He made a really great catch against Florida, did the same thing against Missouri. So I can see it's kind of a roll of the dice of who gets the coverage to me. And all I ever hear from these guys is, wow, about Landers. You know, hey, just do it day in and day out. Don't be inconsistent. And he's got the frame, and I think we'll be okay as far as a go-to guy. Who that might be, I don't know. I look for us to go to Werner, and everybody, talks about our tight ends, but I look for us to go to Werner a little bit more because I really like, again, play action. We used to call it Rambo, where he makes it look like the run. You know, it's a run action, R-A. And, you know, we would go Rambo and then hit those tight ends on a double cross or hit them in the flat. And I think Werner will have a big year.
And you talk about play action. That's one of the things when you look at what Georgia did last year offensively. I think they were about 25, right at 25% play action, upwards down in the hundreds in terms of percentage of play action. Tua with Alabama, right around 41% play action. If you look back at Coley's tenure as OC at Miami, they were in the mid to upper 30s in play action. So I think you're going to see a lot more of that and a lot more favorable positions you're putting your quarterback
in. Well,
I
mean, when you're looking at what Georgia does well, they run the ball. Yep. Everyone's going to be lined up for it, you know, and, I mean, you just take advantage of that mindset. I mean, I'm not going to make fun of defensive players because I did that, but, I mean, they're trying to guess. And when you see Andrew Thomas coming, you're like, okay, it's a run. And you flip your mindset. It's like, okay. And then all of a sudden, the ball comes out of there, and you're like, damn it. Because you know your feet are in the wrong spot. You know you're on the wrong side of the field. You're on the wrong side of that lineman. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh. And, of course, if you're on the wrong side of Andrew Thomas, you just don't stand a chance.
Yeah, the other thing that helps your play action is when you got a quarterback as efficient as Jake is your RPOs. From the standpoint, it could be a run, it could be a pass based on what the defense does. And I could see us doing a few more of those now because of what we're going to see from the defensive line, alignment standpoint. Yeah. They're going to have to do some things with their secondary to get some extra guys coming up to stop the run. And when that happens, you tag a run with a pass, you know, where you call the inside zone, and then you got two routes on the outside and one on the inside where if the box looks like it, we're going to throw behind that backer that's coming or we're going to throw to the outside.
And I think you're going to see a lot of that on early downs.
Right.
Early downs because of the sort of known, hey, we got some unproven receivers. Georgia's going to want to establish a run early in the game. You're going to see a lot of those type of plays early downs.
Good point. And I think what you got with a guy like Jake that Kirby has a lot of confidence in as a defensive coach, even though he's a head coach, is why did you throw – I mean – unless, you know, like Switzer used to say to me, why in the heck you throw the ball on first down? We can run it for 4 yards, you know, on the wishbone. Well, you know, we're trying to throw the ball to Keith Jackson on a big play, and, you know, if he hit a touchdown, hey, that was a good call. But, you know, the point being, though, if we call just a regular pass on first down, like we started out a couple games, we just threw hitches out on the outside against runs. We were just trying to throw some bait to them that we're going to throw the ball if you line up all these guys in there. We're not even going to mess around with any fake. But with the situation now, like you pointed out, we can see where it looks like he's getting ready to run, and he stands up and just throws the ball behind the back or to the outside. So it's going to be a chess match trying to stop us because you got to get us off the field, And, you know, even if we didn't have an awesome receiving crowd, and I think we're going to be really good, close to being A-type receivers, it's going to be hard to stop our run. You know, you can say, hey, we're going to put an eighth guy down there, but, hey, I want to see you tackle. I want you tackle Swift in the open field.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's you're the linebacker. You come up there, and you're like, okay, am I playing inside or outside of that tackle? And you get to the outside thinking they're coming your way. The way Andrew Thomas climbs, same with Isaiah Wilson. Hell, those guards are usually back there picking up guys.
And
you
we've know, got
– It's
got,
not a clear – you don't have a clear path to the ball.
If you just see – if you just look at a little bit of people that are watching this, they see these two fits. They're just coming off like this and in a zone scheme, and you've got to get off that block and make the tackle, and you got a big, fast back running behind them. The other thing that we've added to our arsenal, which everybody – we're running a little bit more counter stuff because our linemen are capable of pulling. We didn't do it last year because we didn't want to have anything but take care of the ball and all that and no – lost yardage plays, but I think the advent of our counter play is going to really help us slow down some pursuit and get some backside runs.
Explain that to the fans that don't understand.
As a counter, you know, Washington Redskins, Joe Gibbs, the counter where you pull the guard and tackle, the guard logs the first guy, and then the tackle either logs him or kicks him out, and then the tackle comes up and support. Or you use an H-back to be the guy. You don't pull the tackle, you just pull the guard, and one of them hits the
Werner in this situation.
Yeah, yes. And he just picks up the most dangerous man as he comes around. But if you're just playing against a team that all the time is just taking a step like this, then you're going to start slanting that way and all that. But that ability to block down on you with old Wilson coming down, when you run the counter, you're going to block down and then kick out. I think that's really helped us. You've watched Miami, and you're talking about Coach Cola. He likes the counter.
So just some specific data to back up your point there.
I think data. Come on, give us something.
So I think we classify inside zone, outside zone, power plays, man blocking, pull lead, all those various things. If you look at Georgia last year, power, man block, pull lead was, I think, a total about 7% of their running attempts.
I would be surprised if it's that much.
And if you look at Coley during his time in Miami, that's about 20%. Of his running attempts. So you're going to see, I think, a lot, like Coach is talking about, a lot more power, a lot more pull lead type action in the running game, which when you have the ability up front that we have, that UGA has, then very much you should use that.
So if you got the other thing that I think Kirby likes about it is again, selfishly defensive coach, that's what he sees from these other teams. So our defense is going to be better against those plays because they see it in practice. But if all they see in practice is zone all the time, except when they go scout team, when they got the lesser guys blocking. But just for the fans, if you're a defensive tackle, a five technique playing there, and that tackle's always trying to reach you, or the tight end and tackle are trying to block you, as compared to now, all of a sudden that tight end's blocking down on you, that tackle's pulling around, or that tackle's releasing inside and that guard's kicking. Yeah, you start thinking about a lot of different things, you know what I mean?
Creates hesitation. So,
and you also have a harder time rushing a passer because you're worried about these guys kicking your legs out.
Yep, it happens. We'll jump to a question from Chuck Ward here. It says, Coach, how do you feel about bringing back Jarvis Jones and Juwan Taylor to help with our team? Will they be able to assist with recruiting like Nick Williams and McCarty Rambo have?
Good question from Chuck. He's always right up there with Ronnie Brown and all these other guys. He's on top of it. But I think the one thing that you like about having established guys that have been successful, particularly in the case of Jarvis playing here and then in the pros, these kids respect that. They're going to listen to that. They like the fact he's coming back to get his degree. He's working at it. And then in the case of Juwan Taylor, he played very effectively last year. Was very
especially in coverage.
Very, very good guy to come out there and help these young linebackers, show them what to do, and they listen to him. But as far as the recruiting, sure, these guys can. They can't do a whole lot off campus, but when kids come to campus or. As far as keeping up, you know, let's just say that you're Coach Lanning and I'm Juwan Taylor. You say, hey, make sure Texas guy for me, you know, do whatever it might be. But you got guys helping you because he's getting ready for a game. But,
right.
But Lanning's going to definitely text them too. But, you know what I mean? These guys build a relationship. And sometimes when Jake and Trent do some of these stories, they talk about not necessarily the lead recruiter being the guy that they have built that relationship with. Sometimes when a guy's a sophomore or junior and you really don't know if he's a player, the younger coaches build that relationship and then the other guy takes over, you know what I mean? So that's going to be good. And Kirby's doing a lot like what Nick's just great for bringing back the older guys, and that's another guy to coach for him, you know. So, and if, well, Nick doesn't have at least
had the ultimate success.
If Nick doesn't have at least 200 of them out there, he's not going to have it. But, you know, he just loves to have another guy showing you what to do. And what I like about it is the coach is showing, you know, setting up the practice and doing all that. But you can just tell Juwan Taylor, hey, I just want you to watch Tindall today and be on him every step he takes.
Yeah.
And, but just coach him up. And that's what we had with Bakari Rambo and all these other guys in the secondary with these younger guys last year. I thought Bakari did a really good job of augmenting Coach Tucker and helping him out, you know.
Yeah, we'll see those assistants change. I remember one day we were out there and one of the Coach Lanning's assistants was walking with Brenton Cox everywhere. Standing in line beside him before each rep was just, I mean, if they could have held hands, they would have. They were just, that guy took him through every rep, every change, every drill, and said, this is what you're doing on this one, this is what you're doing. And then if Brent didn't do it at full speed, not only did he hear from Coach Lanning, we heard from the guy that was standing next to him. Then they'd go to the back of the line, and that guy's right there beside him saying, here's what you did right, here's what you did wrong, do it again. And then the next day, that guy was talking to Adam Anderson, you know, walking him through him. So you get that dedication. You know, that one-on-one. But I want to say this about Jarvis Jones. If you're there and Jarvis is telling you this is how you're going to do it, you believe him because he's actually done himself. But, again, there are few people with the charisma and who inspire as much loyalty as Jarvis does. People like him. Players respect him.
Yeah.
If he comes to you and says, hey, man, I can tell you're not giving me 100%, you can't BS Jarvis.
And
you don't want to. And this is nothing against Juwan Taylor. I just don't know him as well. But I'm just saying I've seen how people react around Jarvis, and they want to please him. Exactly. He's a leader. And I think that, you know, this is his future. His career is in coaching. And, again, he's with Dell McGee again, you know, Dell's high school coach.
The other thing
that is a strong 1-2 punch.
The other thing he brings to the table is he can talk to the coaches about, hey, you know, have you ever thought about this? This is what we did up in Pittsburgh, or you know what I mean? They use that. The other thing about a guy like Juwan Taylor is he was kind of a kind of like when we lost Monty last year when he started. He really knows the defense in and out, you know, and maybe some of the little keys that he used to use to help him, he can maybe talk to the coach, I mean, to the players about.
And he was a five-year guy, right?
Right. But I can tell you this. Anybody that's on our board that's got a PhD from the University of Georgia and thinks they know a lot about football, just come out. I would like for you to go, and we don't have that available. I'd just like for you to go through our practice script one day and try to understand what we're trying to do on offense and defense and tell me that you could learn that over the course of a season. I mean, we have everything built in on everything we do, I mean, to the point where – it's very organized and very unbelievably solid, and you know, but we got a lot of checks now. I'm telling you, we got some checks involved.
Whew. Well, speaking of checks, let's talk recruiting.
No, let's talk. We never talk in terms of checks when we talk recruiting. We're talking in terms of hard
bags.
Cash.
Yeah, bags.
Benjamins.
We did get a question earlier. Sorry, I lost it in all the comments here. But one of the questions popped up was, Coach, can you give us any comments on any scuttlebutt that you're hearing? Here we go. From Jonathan Searcy. Coach, any uncommitted kids that you've heard good things about recently who might come to UGA?
Well, certainly Milton is hovering with only about a week and a half to go. Everybody's talking about he's Georgia bound, but you know, you got to finish the drill with him. But that's one guy. And the tight end situation, we lost this Conyers kid to Oklahoma, but you know, we thought he was going to go there. He's got four I mean, brothers and sisters live close there and everything. And we really did, I don't think we weren't ever in it to the point. But we got to get one of those studs, hopefully maybe two of those tight ends. And I feel good about Washington and Gilbert. And it's just going to take a long time. And then Johnson's really looks good too. I mean, any one of those three would be outstanding. And this kid Cam Large likes us. But, hopefully – we got a place for him. You never know. But as far as the other guys,
did I see?
I'm hoping that the Zy Walker is that
Zacavius.
You can say it right because you've been over in Turkey. Zacavius.
Well, I've been down to see him. So
it's like that knock knock. Who's there? You go. You go. Who? You go. Slavia. I go my way. but seriously, Zacavius, you got him.
God,
hadn't
that's
you?
Terrible.
You got it, hadn't you? You got. Say it again.
Zacavius.
I'm telling you now, he was here at camp, eyeball take.
Yeah.
And a good kid. I mean, he walks around with an air of confidence. There's something about with me, and I know you, Coach, you do a great job, but you and Pollock, dynasty here. This is a Newt Rockne of the young kids.
Cheaters. Absolute cheaters.
They guys know how to recruit now.
They do. Well, they got kids, 8-year-olds calling audibles at the line of scrimmage.
I like it, though. I like what they're doing with those kids. But I'm telling you now, that's the kind of kid that just looks at you and you say, he's a baller. But I would say Milton, hopefully we can flip one of these other guys like Floyd or Cheney or somebody like that. But and then we got Tank out there.
I saw it.
We'll see what happens with Tank.
Sort of prediction that was posted recently.
One of our guys, Trent Smallwood, had put in a very interesting forecast for Tank Bigsby. And if you talk to the folks out in Callaway, I mean, he's a bad man.
Well, he can run. He's fast. But, and he's got such a high standard there at running back with those guys we were looking at. I mean, he's definitely up there. So what other position we were looking at? The kid from LSU down in Louisiana, Van Pryn, and then Lindbergh at offensive lineman. And I'm just not as good on picking
these names. I'll take Cedric Van Pryn in a heartbeat. And that's nothing against Lindbergh, but, again, guys that I've seen in person, yeah. You know, when you talk to Zacavius Walker, I was at his track meet, and his coach has him out there doing a discus. He's not spinning. He's just standing at the front of the circle, punching it out there and winning. When the last guy I saw do that? Ray Drew.
You love the guys that can –
another South Georgia guy who can just stand there and just, you know, grab this either a hunk of metal or the little discus and just fling it out there. It's just physically dominating in a sport. They have no technique, just sprint.
And we got Sewell coming in for a visit that we feel good about. It's going to be hard to take him away from his brother that lives going to Oregon. But I feel like we're in there with Sewell, Flo, I don't know.
Ringo kid.
And then the last one is
from Arizona.
Ringo, I mean –
that kid looks pretty.
Kylie Ringo's a fan.
He gets off the bus.
He's definitely he looks like an NFL corner.
You know, give me the Ringos and the Miltons of the world, and that recruiting class is through the roof. And it's fantastic as it is now. But you talk about visiting. I want everybody to go out and visit Academia Brewing Company. Another place I just got back into town. I'm going to have to swing out there and replenish my stock of beer. Overseas.
Struggle bus.
It's not good. It's not good. Now, if you like Heineken, you can get that everywhere. You know, and a lot of people say, "Well, you were in two Muslim countries; they don't drink over there." Are you kidding me? They drink like fish, just like here. But a lot of it's I was in Egypt, and they had if you wanted an actual, if you wanted Grey Goose, you will spend $28. If you want Egyptian vodka, yeah, you spend $6, $4, $3. It's it's not good. They make good gin, but the rum, the vodka, and everything else was terrible. Point being, they do have some beer out there, but again, it's not the Egyptian beer.
Tell us about Academia.
It's not Academia.
We're not going over to Turkey.
No, I'm just saying, if you have a chance, get the Academia beer is phenomenal. You know, right now we have the Hopperdijak and the Hunker Down Brown, two of their great beers. They are canning so many different kinds out there, and I want to tell you about this. I saw this. They have a crosstown collaboration with Cali and Tito's, a fantastic restaurant here, and it's called Chica in Tito's, and it's their take on an ancient Peruvian style of beer made with blue corn and hibiscus. Who would take on something like that? Hey, there's a Peruvian beer that's been made for 1,000 years, you know, or 1,000. We're going to do our take on that. These guys are experts at it. Just like Brent can tell you everything about any football player because he goes through and has grades on them, can give you hard stuff. Coach Donna, as I say, is a Hall of Fame. He can tell you he can run any offense you want, go back to a Veer, you know, NFL style, whatever you want. I can tell you about every food. That's my area of expertise. But when it comes to making beer, there's no one better than Academia Brewing Company. They can make any style. They have small batches, huge batches. And, again, the food is fantastic. So when you get a chance, swing out to Academia Brewing Company. My wife's uncle was in town with his wife and daughter. His daughter's about to go to the University of Tennessee. They hit me up and say, hey, where do we need to go eat? They were staying out on the east side of, the west side of town, visiting her parents. I'm like, go to Academia Brewing Company. It's right beside you. So if you're on Atlanta Highway, you can't miss it. They have the big bus out there. You swing
right
in.
By racetrack.
Yeah, right behind the racetrack. Yeah. Can't miss it. I had no idea what they wanted to eat. People ask you from out of town, hey, where do I eat here? And you usually ask them, well, what are you in the mood for? To kind of narrow it down. I don't have to with Academia. Just go out there. They have 100 different things you'll like. Plus, you get a great beer. So you have a chef out there who can cook amazing food. So when you get a chance, swing out there. And, of course, if you go on August 7th, they have a very interesting trivia day. How I Met Your Mother trivia day.
Ooh, I actually might do well with that.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I've never watched an episode.
I did watch that show.
Oh, that one there. Oh, I thought you meant for sure. How did you meet your
Let me ask you this.
I got a question for you, too, Coach, before we go.
All right. Just tell us about how you guys – get the grade so fast. You break it up by position and everything. I mean, so let's just say Georgia plays Tennessee at Knoxville. You get the tape, and then what happens?
So it actually – everything happens as the game is going on because the TV copy, we're getting through the lovely thing that is Dropbox, getting the TV copy loaded into our computers, and you have different assignments for different people. And you probably have anywhere from 8 to 12 people working on an individual game. Somebody's loading in sort of box score type data that's, hey, it's first and 10 on the 25.
So you guys got like 1,000 people working with all these games?
I think we have like 500 and some people now. But,
Roddy, there's a chance for you, man.
I'll do the defense.
I would never make the cut. You know that.
I'll be doing Georgia's defense against Tennessee's offense. Somebody else would be doing Georgia's offense against Tennessee's defense for certain pieces, both the analysis piece as well as who's on the field and what are they doing, blitz looks, all the things that go into our tendency data.
So it's a machine, by the way. Everybody on our UGA board is you put those grades out and our people on the board get to see them, right?
Yeah, that's fantastic. So one of the biggest things that I think really helps us is, we had Trent Smallwood who would sit there and go through, 6 hours. It took him 6 hours to notice everybody who was on the field, and he would do a participation report. Well, these guys knock it out in about 15 minutes, it seems. And so when you come to UGA Sports on Sunday, and right now we're running a 50% off deal. We just started today. You can sign up for UGA Sports. It's half off. We've never done this before. So hit us up. It's one of the easiest things to do. Go to ujsports.com. You can jump in, get 50% off.
I think just the fact we got it's going to be worth it just to get some of his pieces.
The point is you can't get this stuff anywhere. You can only get it at ujsports.com. You go there, and you see the participation reports, and you see how many plays did Andrew Thomas get in, how many did DeAndre Swift get in, how many did J.R. Reed, Richard LeCount, on down the list, Eric Stokes versus, Stevenson. And it tells you the percentage, how many plays were they in on? Was it a run play? Was it a pass play? So it breaks down really well. And then we get the grades where you can go in and see how they fared. And I know it sounds weird, but there have been times when I've asked a player who left, what was your favorite game? And they'll tell me their favorite game. Then I'll ask, what was your worst game? And you always get these weird answers where they're like, oh, well, when we beat Auburn for the SEC title. And you're like, what the hell? What do you mean that was your worst game? He goes, oh, for me personally, I bombed that game.
Right.
I missed blocks. I missed tackles or whatever. And you're like, oh. Because we think of it as a big win, for an SEC title.
Right.
But they're like, me personally, I was terrible. And then you go in, and so you see Georgia wins a game or loses a game. And, of course, everyone blames a guy in a loss or they credit somebody in a win. And you look at the actual grades, and you're like, wow, this guy actually – didn't have as much of an impact, or this guy is the reason the game was won, not because of that final play when so-and-so stripped the ball, So when you look at the Pro Football Focus grades, you learn a lot. And when you see the participation trends. When you see a guy like Jordan Davis, we saw him get in a little bit, then more, then more, and then more. Very and then he gets hurt, and then you see the difference. You're like, wow, this is a – you don't have to be a diehard X's and O's freak to enjoy this stuff. Just look – it has the broad picture to show you what's going on, and if you want to get into the minutia, we have that too. And you can get it all for 50% off.
And they should people should hit me up on Twitter and tell me what they want to hear about. What
exactly?
What should
if you've got questions, he's going to be writing stuff for us going forward. So if you want to reach out, give him your Twitter.
It's B. Rollins, PhD. I actually have a PhD from the University of Georgia, coach. He said that earlier.
Anybody
from the University of Georgia.
So what did you want to ask me, doctor?
Doctor.
So I always wanted to be a doctor, but I didn't have enough patients.
Well, my wife tells me I'm not a real doctor. So, but anyway, you know, one of the things I pointed out in the article was about Fromm and how now he's the definitive guy. Have you seen that in your experience where you maybe had a quarterback battle and then somebody got hurt and now I have this guy who's the guy and they elevate their play just from that alone?
Sure. I mean, I don't know that he's ever been looking over his shoulder because that's not the kind of kid he is, but
no, I agree.
He's definitely in the back pocket knowing that these guys, you had two guys like Jacob and Fields behind him, but I think just the what he's shown to me is a better understanding of the position by trying to help these younger guys. And, you know, he's out there fortifying his position, but he's helping other guys. And that really helps you learn the game more when you're trying to teach other kids about what you're supposed to do and what not supposed to do.
Right.
And I really feel good about Bennett. I mean, people certainly – you got every reason to doubt him and all that. But the fact that he was able to play a whole year in junior college against some pretty good players in that Mississippi Junior College League.
Right.
And, you know, really establish himself and then come back here where he's got tremendous belief from the other players. And, you know, a lot of times I used to tell our quarterbacks, you know, and that's why you never get on a quarterback much in front of the other kids because they don't know that he's doing anything wrong. So – a lot of times it might not be the best play, but they think because Jake is executing, it's going to be all right. You know what I mean? They don't know that they're bringing the jack or they're doing this, all this stuff. They just say, hey, this guy's going to get us to the dance and we're going to do everything possible. And I think that in itself is a big for our team as the first thing you ever see anybody say about our quarterback situation is Jake. Number one is knows what to do. He's a coach on the field. And that, boy, you see it with these little kids you coach or a high school team, whatever. Yeah. You got to avoid losing as much as you win. And, boy, when you make a lot of mistakes in this league, you're history.
Yeah, I think you say that, you know, he's not looking over his shoulder. That's true. But at the same time, you also know that you have that safety net. You know, it's like, hey, if something, you know, worst case scenario, if I'm screwing up, because Jake's a team guy, it's like we got somebody to come in. Right now, his safety net's a little thin. That's again, nothing against the guys behind him. I'm a big believer, you know, in Stetson Bennett. But to your, like you wrote in the story, this is the first time he's not in a head-to-head, you know, quarterback battle. He will be able to. He has the confidence knowing that he's the guy. But he also has to, you know, he has to take care of himself because.
Yeah. But I would say this:
I think he's always done that.
Most quarterbacks, though, around the world, don't have many guys coming in for them in the third series or coming in on the goal line like Justin did. And they were just trying to build Justin up. But you know, when every time he would come in, that'd be less than Jake would play.
That's a good point.
So he's never going to be. You know, until the game's in hand, he's never going to be thinking about, well, you know, I'm only going to get three series. And then, you know, because you're going to have some bad
play. One
less
distraction, absolutely.
You're going to have a bad play once in a while.
That happens.
But I'm not near as worried about Stetson Bennett as I am some other areas. I promise you, I like Stetson.
Yeah, I think he's one of the best in the players.
And Dwan could be really good, but I just don't think physically – you can take a chance on a guy that's had that kind of surgery anytime, you know, within the near future. I mean, it's going to take a little while. I mean, any parent, any UGA fan got to think, hey, let's protect this guy. And then hopefully he can do like Devod, come in at the end of the year, play a couple games, and then still redshirt.
Absolutely. Anyway, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday. We'll have a lot more for you. We'll be 1 week closer to the start of fall practice, and I'm sure Coach will have a lot of thoughts on that. Jake is on vacation this week, but we still have a lot of recruiting updates at UGASports.com. You can get all those updates for 50% off. Today we have an update on a top 50 offensive tackle in the nation for 2021. Kid out of Mr. Ferguson out of Peach.
Let me just tell you about Ferguson real quick. This kid's father is a veterinarian. The kid is not overwhelming physically yet. He's going to get bigger. But you watch the tape on that guy. He is a technician. I don't know much about these different guys, but when you brought Ferguson, makes me – hey, he's a take. I mean, the guy plays at Peach County. Hopefully he wants to come to Georgia. There's a lot of people pushing him that way. You guys in the veterinary school, get some animals down there and let your dad take care of him.
Peach County has been fantastic to Georgia. We were talking about Kyrus Jackson, guys like that earlier in the show. So go read that top 50 update that we have on the front page of UGASports.com. Again, you can read everything at UGASports an entire year. If this is Georgia's national championship year, you do not want to miss it. Hell, you don't want to miss it even if it's not. So be sure to tune in to UGASports.com. Go sign up. 50% off for an entire year, your first year. You can't beat that deal. And we will talk about more of this stuff next week. Big shout out to Athens Ford, Aaron Overhead Doors, Your Pie, Academia Brewing Company, Cable East, 365 Game Day for letting us be on their site. And, of course, our friends over at 11 Live and Champies here on Baxter Street. Tune in next week. We will talk to you then.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.